Welcome back, Earthworld Warriors, to another Realmcast Tarkatan bite-size episode. I am your host, the Mortal Kombat Phantom, and with me as always is my co-host, our lore master Yanni. Welcome, Yanni.
Thank you, Phantom. Today we are finally, and it's a bit late, so I'm saying finally, reviewing Mortal Kombat 1. We're going to be breaking down and addressing different sections and just addressing, you know, how we feel about everything and I guess how we would maybe not score it, but, you know, rate it in a way.
Yep, but before we begin our deep dive into this trailer, don't forget you can enhance your Realmcast experience by joining us on our live soul stream, where we dive into Mortal Kombat and engage live with you, the audience. So be sure to like and subscribe so you can be notified whenever we do go live.
Now, just as a preface, this discussion will, I say obviously, include story details and information. So be warned for Mortal Kombat 1 spoilers. I will sort of be tackling this more in the gameplay perspective to a different degree than Phantom.
Yeah, me on the other hand, I'm going to be more of a casual player because I'm one of those people that just likes to pick up the game and play from time to time. I don't dive into a lot of the nuances. I pick up a couple combos and I just enjoy playing Mortal Kombat and fighting games in general.
Yeah, now that'll come up when, you know, we obviously get to the gameplay section. But for the story and everything else, you know, what you know and expect from us. So, Phantom, shall we begin?
Yeah, let's start it off. So, I guess the first point of topic would be the art and aesthetic of Mortal Kombat. Yanni, what were your thoughts with that? Because we've talked about this quite a bit on our various episodes. And
we seem to be sort of at odds on this, and I wonder if we still are after the game is released.
100% I am.
Okay.
My viewpoint hasn't changed at all. How about you?
Well, no, I actually really like it. Now, I do see some of your points that you've mentioned previously, which you should say in a second, but I like just to go into sort of bare bones, quick address, I think it's nice to see that it's brighter than MKX and even MK11. I know that, you know, as we sort of moved away from 9, we jumped into from vibrant colors in 9 to extremely dark in X, and then quite a nice balance, I feel, with 11. But 1, in my opinion, has moved closer to 9, a sort of nice balance between 9 as well as MK11. So, like, X took it too far. X gonna give it to you. But 1 was, in my opinion, like the way it is, I really like the aesthetic. It's bright, it's vibrant, but it also still manages to capture that Mortal Kombat feel, for me at least. And it's very 3D era-esque as well, in a way. I know that's darker, but that's the vibe I get. How about you, Phantom?
Okay, so I'll start off by saying, you know, I was a fan of Mortal Kombat X's darker design. I thought it was a nice transition for the game to go.
You don't turn the lights on at home, do you? Just walk around in eternal darkness.
They're on right now. But I, you know, Mortal Kombat 9 is the game that got everybody back into Mortal Kombat. I mean, whether you're a 2D era fan, 3D era fan, you came back because of Mortal Kombat 9. So I understand wanting that brighter tones and stuff like that, but Mortal Kombat 1 is not that. Mortal Kombat 9 still had that dark aesthetic to it. In Mortal Kombat 1, it is way too bright, way too vibrant, but more importantly, it is so cartoony. It's basically almost Street Fighter. Mortal Kombat 11, as I mentioned in some of our previous discussions about this, had a more realism to it. You know, we even did a comparison on one of our Soul streams where we showed Liu Kang from Mortal Kombat 11 and compared him to Liu Kang from Mortal Kombat 1. And Mortal Kombat 1, he has larger eyes, which, you know, gives it a more anime look to it. His proportions are a little bit different, like slightly, but it's just enough to where...
He's been on a diet as Fire God, okay?
He lives off of sunlight and air now. But it's just not real anymore. And, you know, I complained about that with Mortal Kombat 11 because it was so real that it was grotesque, but... lean into it. I mean, Mortal Kombat 1, they backed away and they went in the Street Fighter direction. And it's just, to me, it wasn't what the game could have been.
You know what's funny? Just before we do move on to the next point, I find it hilarious that when we brought up that exact point, and I remember this, okay? When you said it's too realistic, it like sometimes it makes you squeamish, etc.
With 11?
You said this. Yeah, and you said they need to tone it back a bit. What you are doing right now is when I said to you, yes, but if they do that, then you'll have people saying, oh, but it's too cartoony. boom. It has happened exactly as we discussed it would.
It has. But so Mortal Kombat X, though, it had a little bit of that realism. Mortal Kombat 9 wasn't cartoony, but I feel like Mortal Kombat 1 was. And I don't really know how to explain that better, but Mortal Kombat 9 is held back by its limitations in that year. Mortal Kombat 1 is not held back by its limitations. It's held back by the design team.
Ooh, that's which, harsh.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but I don't
disagree
know.
For the record, guys, if you're watching this.
It's just, it's too bright. It's too cartoony to me, and it's missing something. Now, you know, as we've said before in some of our past episodes, who knows what patches and stuff will do to this game over time. You know, they might be still tweaking things to the point where this could change a little bit. But right now and for the unforeseeable future, I think this is what we're getting. And I don't think there's going to be much change to it. So,
yeah, that's what I think, too. I don't think I've seen many games change their entire art style through patches.
Oh, their aesthetic.
If you really want to change something like that, go on PC, and I'm assuming use a reshader or something. But for the moment, as it stands, looks like Phantom is not a fan, and I am, of the new art style. Although I can definitely see an argument for having it a bit closer to MK11's style. I do appreciate how MK11 struck that sort of balance between bright and dark, and I think MK1 has moved a bit further back towards MK9 style. So yeah, all right. What's our next point?
Gameplay, and this is where I feel like you'll have a lot to say.
Well, let's hear from you first before I taint your opinion.
Okay, so you know, as we said earlier, I'm taking it from more of a casual player. You know, I don't go to the tournament scenes or anything. I don't compete. I don't enter anything like that anymore. If I show up at a convention or something and people are playing it, I'll jump on and I might win, I might lose, depending on who's playing with me.
I think that's what you can say for everybody, to be honest. But yeah, I get your point.
Well, but then, you know, there's people who will spend all day and all night and level up to 100 within the first week. I'm still at level...
First 2 days.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not even joking.
Yeah, and I'm not worried about leveling up. I'm not in it for the grind. I just want to play some good gameplay. So...
And he refuses to play with me, for the record, everybody.
I'm not paying for live right now. Sorry, guys. I'm not playing online right now. I like people to come over, and I like to keep their butts at it. You know, like, let them get their bar down to just where I'm about to die, and then, you know, throw out my combos and win. Mm-hmm. And that's fun to me. It's better to see their expression. Yeah. Come on over, Yanni.
What's the sort of vibe you get in terms of past games, I suppose?
Okay, so... Mortal Kombat 9 and X, they were just, you know, they were fun to just kind of pick up and toy around with them and like kind of see what you could do, figure things out a little bit differently. Even, you know, doing combos and stuff, I felt like there was a lot of way that you could kind of tweak these combos and mess with them and kind of combine stuff and try new things out. Mortal Kombat 1, I don't feel that way. I feel like it is... You know, you have these set combos that you can kind of piece together. And it's more similar to how 11 was with their combo system. It's not something you can just kind of play with and put things together at random. I just kind of get bored with it as far as doing this. Like, you know, it's fun to try out these different characters and see what they can do and stuff like that. But with the gameplay, I'm not spending as much time, and you know, maybe it's a sign of the times. Maybe I am too old for this game now, because Mortal Kombat 9 was how many years ago now? And even like 2D and 3D, like those games are old now, but and that makes me older by proxy. But I haven't been enjoying playing the gameplay on this as much. But that's my personal opinion, and I know there are people who don't agree. Maybe yourself. I'm super curious, because I think you got a lot to say on this.
Yeah, I mean, just firstly addressing what you just said, I actually feel like there's a bit of a negative recency bias, specifically regarding picking it up and it's just fun and figuring out combos on the fly. Because to me, MK1 is way more akin to MK9 and X than it is 11. In that regard, I think that you are looking at it as it's too modern for you, and I think you're being unfair to yourself, but also to the game. because actually the way I would describe MK1's gameplay is exactly how I described it after playing the stress test in the beta. It feels like the 3D era, especially with the aerial combos. It feels like MK9, it feels like MKX, it feels like MK11, all into one. And the only part of MK11 really that I would associate MK1 with is really the sort of focus on neutral, like the players being, you know, both on the ground standing up. You don't know what's coming. It could be a mix-up, could be the, like, it's very sort of footsie based, you know. And when I say that, I mean, well, exactly what I just said. It's like you're both standing up and you don't know what to sort of expect, but it's kind of like either a reflex or reaction or, you know, whatever you throw out, really. Whereas MKX, for example, was extremely rushed down focused. Like, and I don't need to explain what that means, really, do I? It's in the name. You're just running at people. And that specifically was actually a move, or a mechanic rather, in MKX. You run at people, right? Mm-hmm. And MKX was really, really fast. It was extremely fast. So the point where I remember you complaining and saying to me, I love MKX, but I prefer playing MK9. And this is around when MK11 had just released, or, you know, a bit after it, really. That's why I think there's a bit of a recency bias with you, because now that we've moved past, and we see this with the entire fandom.
Oh, yeah.
The definitely. Previous game is always the best game. It's always the better game. And I never thought I'd see that with MK11. I knew that there would be people saying that.
It's so strong. Like, it's so strong. There's so many people saying it, like, all over the internet. And I agree. I definitely think that's recency bias.
Yeah. I mean, I was just talking to History Behind the Warrior about this, and we both said how while MK11 was a lot of fun, it was really boring to watch.
Yeah.
And if you remember when we were waiting for I think it was Garrus's trailer. We were watching Garrus's tournament, and while it was cool at first, it was just like, okay, this is dragging on a bit long. Whereas I could watch MK1 all day. It's a lot of fun. There's so much happening. Yeah. It's just lots of bouncing and everything. It feels like I'm watching MK9 again, but with more aerial combos. The focus on the aerial aspect of combat has really brought back a certain sense of fun to the game. Yeah. So that's why I'm saying I think that you're being a bit unfair to both the game and yourself when you make that point.
Yeah, and the thing is too, you know, I'm not saying Mortal Kombat 11 is better than Mortal Kombat 1. It's just, I don't know. To me, they're similar. Yeah, and they are similar to the point where I kind of feel like I did playing Mortal Kombat 11. I haven't put my foot down on exactly why yet, but I'm not having as much fun as I was hoping to with it.
With MK1?
Yeah.
I think that actually could be as a result of it becoming too complex in comparison to which I believe was actually too simple with MK11. MK11, as I said, it was very neutral focused. Both players were neither at an advantage nor a disadvantage. You were both on equal footing. And that is sort of the one main aspect of the combat I believe they've carried forward from MK11. There were no air combos, and the gravity scaling was crazy. You know, when playing certain characters, it was just like button mash, like, no, okay, not button mashing, but like, I remember breaking my fingers trying to keep them in the air with Fujin, which is ironic considering, you know, he has the ability over wind. But
so here's the thing for me. When I choose a character and I play with them, I'm not really altering my play style compared to the people that I'm fighting against, or compared to the characters that I'm fighting against. My play style is staying the same. I am still doing the same moves, the same combos. You know, I might do the sequences a little bit different, but it's a lot of the same stuff that I'm doing to fight the person. Rather than some of the other games, I felt like, okay, I'm going against this person. I need to watch out how I'm doing this particular move because I know that they can do this against me. I don't feel that way with Mortal Kombat 1 yet.
But I think that's down to you and your understanding and experience.
That's
with the
game. Very
possible. Bear in mind, you also play Kenshi. And
yeah.
Kenshi is a very complex character. I would argue the most complex character in the game right now. Anyway, I definitely understand your point, and I think you make a good one, but I also think that your opinion might change over time, as it did with the previous games.
Yeah, and I'm fully open to that too.
Yeah. Now, I know we've talked a bit about the actual gameplay itself, but maybe let's talk about the different gameplay modes very quickly. I mean, we have towers, we have invasions, and we have online, obviously. Mm-hmm. What did you think of the towers?
Okay, so I was super excited about towers, especially when I saw the different options that they had. Things like the Infinite Tower and stuff like that. Then when I started playing them, it was basically the same thing.
It's basic, but, right? It's normal towers.
Yeah, you know, I hate to keep referencing back to Mortal Kombat 9, but, you know, Mortal Kombat 9's towers were amazing. Like, they had such random stuff that would kind of happen throughout them that just kept you excited to play it.
Are you thinking of Test Your Luck, though? Or are you thinking of the normal...
Yeah, the Test Your Luck tower, I think
that's
it was.
What I miss as well. And MKX had it too, I believe.
Yeah, but even, you know, the Mortal Kombat 9 one, you know, they included stuff like the Test Your Sight, Test Your Might within those towers too.
Yes.
And I know, you know, that's there in the invasion modes and stuff like that, but it's just not the same because it's not as random. It's just like, I don't know, in the invasion mode when you see it lights up and you're like, okay, I got a Test Your Might going to come up on this. And it's kind of like, you know what's going to happen. They're fun to do and they're fun to lose even, but
yeah,
I don't know what to put my finger on it because it's always like the third slot and it's always kind of the same thing.
Yes, and that's actually one of the biggest criticisms I had. So obviously we're talking invasion mode right now, and invasion mode or invasions mode, which is very, you know, it doesn't roll off the tongue, but you've got various maps within invasions mode. It has different seasons. We're on the first season right now. There's always going to be a theme. Right now it's the theme of really Hanzo. There's a central hub where you have the returning pretty much Towers of Time, which don't have any rewards aside from the seasonal tower, which is bull straight up. There's the node system, which is like, look, the idea of invasions was a pretty cool concept in that it's a, like an
RPG. Great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But the execution leaves a lot to be desired here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's slow. You can't turn around mid walk. And if it's a long distance between the nodes, you're just watching your character go for a while, you know?
Yeah.
And as you mentioned as well, the Test Your Might, I'm assuming Test Your Sight at some point, the secret fights, the ambushes. I'm sorry, but those secret fights, firstly, I cannot take it seriously when whoever the announcer is says, sick. You know? If that is Jameson Price, sorry, man. But, like, everything else is, it's just, you said it. It doesn't feel like a surprise. It's not really a secret fight. There's a secret fight every fight.
Well, and not only that, but every time you go into a secret fight, it's, you know, you're like, okay, well, I just finished fighting somebody. I'm going to move to the next square where I got to fight somebody. Oh, there's a secret fight. I have to fight somebody. You know what I mean? There's not any real variation to the gameplay there. And
if anything, it effectively doubles the time you spend in each tower.
Yeah. And it's boring. It's so boring. Yeah,
no, it is. Like, the towers themselves, just even the secret fights, I'm sorry, but for Mortal Kombat, which has come all this way after having the first secret fighter available in any game with Reptile, to take the concept of the secret fight and make it a thing which just occurs every fight and has no actual cool reward or anything tied to it, I feel like you've not understood the core concept here of a secret fight. You know, I like the idea of invasions mode. I like the idea of throwing in these different things, but secret fights, the ambushes, okay, fair enough. It's going to be like an endurance match. That's cool. I actually don't mind the ambushes, especially because it's three characters with extremely low HP and it's just a bit of fun. You know, you get to see these variants of Melina or Smoke or whatever. Invasions mode, in my opinion, has taken the worst aspect of Mortal Kombat 11, and that was the consumables. And really turned it up to... I say 11, 1.
I don't use any consumables. Like, even my amulets, I have to keep discarding amulets because I've got all rare amulets and I don't even use them. I'm like...
The talismans system and the inventory management is really bad. And I say that as well about the relics, which really don't have much effect. Everybody used that worthless one that you get at the beginning, which is actually the best one because it increases your profile XP until you get to level 100, and then it's useless. So do I throw it away now? Will they increase the level cap in the future? Can I get this again if I throw it away? Am I making a mistake? Why don't you just increase the inventory sizes? Because I'm sorry, I do not want to throw away 4 talismans every single fight. But the consumables themselves, you might not be using them, but trust me, the bloody game is going to. And it's going to be a million consumables per second. You're going to have fire all over the screen. You're going to have... these magic things. Like, I'm sorry.
Well,
the test your luck, the test your modifiers, whatever you want to call them, random modifiers in MK9, were done very well in that game. Same in MKX, but I think they were better in MK9. They were still fun in X. I remember actively choosing with my friends to go in to test your luck, whatever, and play it. And that was a lot of fun. But MK11 and MK1 saw the wrong aspects and brought them into the game while getting rid of the others. I'd like to be able to just log on and play with Phantom and say, hey, let's do test your luck. That way, for example, let's say I am better than him. Maybe I get a modifier where I don't have my arms anymore. Like, as was the case in MK, was it 9 or X or both? You know?
I think, yeah.
Yeah. But instead, we have things where the entire screen, I'm sorry, but I've got eye problems. The entire screen goes white. I end up having a migraine and I'm seeing flashes for the rest of the night. Like, at some point, I wonder if people can actually file lawsuits for this stuff. Like, it is actually possibly damaging. And it's not fun to have the entire screen go black either. I can't see anything. Every time I go next to Smoke, Titan Smoke, whatever you want to call him, the entire screen's black. Oh, this is fun. I can't see what I'm doing.
And it's not like the computer can't see what it's doing. And so you're just fighting blind.
And you just brought up a very important point that I always forget to mention on this topic.
What's that?
The computer can't see? No, obviously it can. Yes, you can actually leave an effect on the computer where they apparently can't see or that their buttons are switched. It's a computer. And that's another one. Why do I want to have all of my buttons switched in such a weird way? Like, I understand if back and forward are forward and back, or back is down and stuff like that. That's cool. But don't put my block button on up.
Oh, I don't think I've gotten one of those modifiers yet.
It's the chaotic modifier, the chaos modifier.
Okay.
But I mean, I guess the point here really is I don't like the modifiers. I don't know a single person who really does. And that's made even worse by the fact that every single enemy in invasions mode has super armor.
Yeah, oh, I know.
And guess what? Remember that special relic I told you about that you get double XP or whatever?
Uh-huh.
That one means that you don't do any damage to super armor.
Oh, really? I didn't even realize
that. Yeah?
Yeah. Like you said at the beginning, you know, they took a great concept. It's like the Mortal Kombat, what was it? Deception. The Conquest Code mode in Mortal Kombat Deception was fun because you are learning the story and exploring and going around. This one, it's like I said, you're just going from fight to fight, and then there'll be a little pop-up dialogue which explains the story but not really anything important, and I just skip it every time. Like,
yes,
you know, there's a story, you've learned it at the beginning and you learned it at the end of Invasions, and you've got the whole story right there. Like, you don't need Liu Kang chiming in and telling, oh my gosh, did you know that Hanzo likes to eat crab on Saturday afternoons down by the dock? You're like, okay, so what? Like, you're gonna make me go to this area eventually and I'm gonna have to do something there. I don't get to choose to go and find Hanzo eating crab. Like,
I feel like this is a perfect example of them missing the mark in the sense that they had a great idea but didn't understand why people would like this idea.
It feels like a mobile game.
Yeah, it does. And that's definitely illustrated by the fact that there are so many currencies in this game. And I mean, when we come to the unlock system, I'll also talk about that. But just very briefly, I would like to mention at least a couple of positives about the Invasions mode. As we said, it's a great concept. And I like the idea of it being a type of crypt in a way where you're sort of unlocking things. And again, I will come back to this because I'm sorry, there is a negative attached to this one. I like the idea of the whole Pokemon-style type advantage and disadvantages and such, but they don't really come into play very much. And if anything, they all have a negative with the relics that you get, because every relic, if you're going to, for example, play Nitara, almost as Scarlet, you're going to play Nitara and use a blood relic, that means you're decreasing her physical damage by 25%, which is all of her normal attacks. And
see,
so
I honestly haven't used any relics.
There you go. And not only that, you probably didn't care about the stats either.
No. I just go
and
in there and
that's the next part.
I do these combos and then I'm done and I go to the next character.
Everybody knows the exploits, right? Which is, I say exploits, but I'm sorry, it's just, in the end, it's just bad coding, I suppose. I'm sorry, but I'm going to be very candid here. I very much enjoyed the concept of it, or rather, I liked the concept of it, but I didn't enjoy the whole gameplay. But yeah, Invasions mode, swing and a miss, but not a complete miss. You hit the ball, kind of. It can be fixed. It can
be. Yeah, exactly. I think that's a big part about Invasions, is I do see how it can be fixed, especially because this is a seasonal thing. This is something that they're going to be updating. Now, if they're going to be updating it seasonally, as in, you know, they kind of did with 11 with one of those towers, I forgot which one it was, where it's basically like this AI generated, you know, amalgamation of whatever they wanted kind of going into it. That's not going to be so much fun, but if they kind of plan it out and figure out a good structure for some of these invasion modes, this could be really, really fun mechanic in this game.
Yeah, I think so too. And bear in mind that all these things that we are saying are criticisms, which in my opinion can actually be fixed.
Yeah.
So fingers crossed that, you know, we see positive changes. I mean, it doesn't help, for example, that Switch players were not able to play it until as of the time of this recording, literally yesterday. That is, I'm sorry guys, but that's terrible.
Switch players right now. I don't even think we need to bring that one up. It's,
yeah. Anyway, final mode that we've got to discuss really is the online, and that includes
Combat League.
No, don't even mention that yet. We've got casual, we've got King of the Hill, which doesn't really work right now. I've not found a single King of the Hill match. And apparently, I don't know because I don't have enough people to play with King of the Hill, like in terms of friends, but King of the Hill cannot really be hosted between friends as far as I can tell. You can't player invite people, so you just need to find random lobbies. And as I mentioned, I cannot find a single one. I don't know what's up with that. So you've got casuals, you've got King of the Hill, and then, and Tim, we've got
Combat League.
Yeah.
It's back. It is back and better than ever. It's the same thing.
No, it's not. It's actually worse. You want to know why? I'm not just saying this.
Why?
So remember how at the end of Combat League, each season, you would unlock
things? I know what you're about to, yeah.
So I actually like that you do unlock things as you get to that tier now. That's great. That's actually a very positive change. So I will give them that. The negative here is that the skins have been added to the final.
See, the thing is, I don't play for skins at all. And, you know, a lot of this, the grinding mechanic, which I know is become standard in video games these days. I don't care. I don't care if I win a skin. I'm just playing it to have fun. And that mechanic, in my opinion, is just takes away a lot of the fun of it. Because
it does.
I mean, if I got a skin while I'm having fun, I'm like, oh, cool. You know, look, I'm Dark Sindel, which I'm never going to use because I don't play as Sindel. But
I've got the list here. So you've got tier 1, tier 2, tier 3. And you've got 3 ranks within each tier. Apprentice, Combatant, Warrior, Champion, Master, Grandmaster, Demigod, God, Elder God. Now, in MK11, I would always just go for Demigod because Demigod would be the final third skin. Now, along the way, you've got banners, like for your combat cards. You've got gear as well. And then, this is actually quite funny to me because it's clear that nobody realized what they were doing here in terms of currency. You've got currency rewards. Now, 250 coins, seasonal coins, which expire at the end of the season. 250 for Apprentice, 500 for Warrior, 500 until Grandmaster, which is 1,000, and then until God, still 1,000, switching to 2,500, and then Elder God with 5,000. I have 500,000 seasonal coins, I think. Or 700,000 now, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been not even a month.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but what?
Well, you're set until the season's over and then it all expires, is that right?
I've bought everything!
Oh, gosh.
The coins are useless for me.
Yeah.
So, Combat League, I made it my mission to get to Demigod. Obviously, Phantom has not touched Combat League, and really for the sake of his sanity, I do not blame him. Oh.
Played it. I fought against several different scorpions. And
you scorpions? You lucky.
Yeah, because
all I got was Baraka, Johnny, and Raiden with Cyrax.
This was before you had to sign up for PlayStation Plus to do Combat League. Now they've changed it now, so you have to have a PlayStation Plus membership to do it. And yeah, it was all scorpions at the time because this was early on and everybody wanted a scorpion and it was all the same scorpions. So yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so Combat League, remember how I mentioned that, you know, the feedback and stuff and them bringing in things that they didn't realize that people don't want or things people do want. I'm sorry, but who wants Combat League in this vein? Like, yeah. Bring it in for the people who care about, you know, like, really, just bring it in for the FGC. People who don't care about unlocks and such. And don't tie rewards to the Combat League. If you're going to tie rewards to the Combat League, tie the banners. That's fine. I've seen the God banner. I've gotten to Demigod, as I mentioned, but the banner at God is making me tempted. I'm not going to lie. I'm apparently masochist. But the Elder God banner is beautiful. So why is it that the Baraka skin is tied to Elder God, something which, I'm sorry, but the extreme minority of players are going to get to? You know, like, that is ridiculous. Think of the poor Baraka mage. Actually, I say that, but I hate all Baraka mage right now. But anyway, let's assume that Baraka is not broken. Think of the poor Baraka mains who can't get to Elder God and will never see that skin up until like 4 months down the line. Unless the Warrior good. Shrine. No, don't even try the Soulsborne stuff with me.
Okay, no, no. So, okay, that was a great point you just made at the end there, and I interrupted you with my
yes,
snarkiness.
You did.
Except the what?
The Warrior Shrine.
That's right.
Ask me what it is.
What's the Warrior Shrine, Yanni?
I don't know. It's not unlocked. It's not available.
So, you know, as we mentioned earlier, these are all modes that things about the game that can be fixed. I mean, like, unlocking things like Warrior Shrine and making King of the Hill playable, I'm sure will be something fun, maybe, in the, when the game comes out. I mean,
my biggest criticism with Combat League, really, is the unlock system. Like, if these unlocks are tied to the Warrior Shrine with seasonal coins, in which case, if it doesn't come up before the end of the season comes and I can't spend my 700,000 coins, I'm going to be really annoyed. But if it's tied to Warrior Shrine, that's great. That means people who don't care about Combat League don't have to play it. And that is a huge positive, because they've already got that going right now with the seasonal tower. You can buy things from Invasions mode with the seasonal coins. And that is a great system for people who just don't care about those modes, you know? So why do you make it for the single player content, the single player casual content can be skipped, but the online rage-inducing mode cannot be currently at this point in time? Sorry, but what is going on there?
I think that's what Warrior Shrine is going to be when we do get it, because we've seen what the shrine
got everything does. Crossed yeah. For that. I mean, and one point on the gameplay before we move on to the story for the Combat League is, I say gameplay, but aside from the latency issues that people are having, and we mentioned this again with MK11, this has not been fixed since MK11. Let's say I'm playing and I'm Demigod and I'm trying to get to God. If I come up against, let's just say, somebody in Master, two tiers below me, and I lose, they gain about 200 or something points. I lose, yes. Like, yeah. 60. Now, do you know how much I gain if I win?
Like 20?
5 or 10.
Oh my gosh.
So I will waste potentially 15 to 20, maybe 30, I don't know how long, minutes of my life on this fight for 5 points. And if I lose, I lose the equivalent of 3 wins to people in my tier.
Gosh. So the higher up you go, the bigger the risk you have.
Pretty much. And I'm sorry, but that's a very, very bad design. As well as the fact that if they have a latency below 150 with you, you have to accept the match.
Yeah, yeah.
That is not good design, and I've complained about this since MK11. I'm sorry, but come on, this Combat League is already not fun as it is. I'm speaking honestly. I love the game as a whole, but Combat League, this is not the first time you've heard this. I know that this has been said all over Twitter and Reddit and such, you know?
Yeah, anyway. Well, even with Mortal Kombat 11, it's the same type of complaint.
It's the same thing. It's pretty much the same thing. Combat League is honestly, as of this moment, I think my biggest criticism of the game. So I think that's most of my negativity out. So moving on to positives, at least for me. Story.
Yeah, let's talk story. Yeah. So there's a lot to say about the story, because Mortal Kombat 1, as everybody knows at this point, is a complete... it's supposed to be a complete reboot of the franchise. And now it is its own, like, there's so much more to it. So we're going to address a full review of the story eventually in the near future, but for now we're just going to touch on a couple things. So there might be some slight spoilers here, And if you want to, make sure you subscribe to us. That way you can get our full episode where we do a deep dive into the story and analysis, as well as some other future Realmcast episodes we have coming up, which I think you guys
are a lot really of stuff now that MK1's out.
Yeah, finally you can start releasing stuff again. So where do you want to start, Yanni?
I mean, I would like to call back to one point that we kept on discussing prior to the release, and that was the theme of deception. And I don't mean the game itself, although that definitely does apply here. The theme of the player and the characters all being deceived, that is something that really continued into the actual game itself. It was, as I said, it's not specifically the game deception, I mean the actual theme of deception. But at the same time, there were definite callbacks to all the games in the 3D era, too.
The entire 3D era. This in my mind, is basically a love letter to the 3D era. Yeah. You know, as we were looking back at the Warner Brothers era, or the NRS era, however you want to refer to it, Mortal Kombat 9, you know, was basically reimagining of Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3. Mortal Kombat X was, in a way, kind of a reimagining of Mortal Kombat 4. Yeah. And then Mortal Kombat 11, you know, everybody kind of expected to kind of continue that progression. But this one is very much the 3D era. You have Deception themes, you have Deadly Alliance themes, you have Armageddon themes, like very heavy-handedly put into the storyline. And, you know, part of me is like, that's really cool. And then another part of me is like, are they just kind of playing with my member berries where it's like, do you remember the Pyramid of Argus, you know, and stuff like that? Like,
well, here it is.
Yeah. So, yeah, but there are so many cool little callbacks and, you know, little things in there. Like, you can tell Dominique's love of cinema through this. I mean, like, the Indiana Jones stuff. Like, I want to see somebody do a cut. I mean, we might have to do it if nobody else is going to do it. But a cut of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, I think it was, compared to Johnny Cage and the crypt of whatever his name is, like that whole scene is like, especially at the beginning, it's almost clip for clip Indiana Jones. And there's so many different things like that in it. And one of the cool things that has been pointed out is his references to things like Mortal Kombat 1995, you know, the scene where Sub-Zero and Scorpion are fighting against Johnny Cage, and Liu Kang basically erupts in fire. Is like, that's enough. Just like Raiden did when he stopped everybody from fighting underneath in the galleys of the ship that was taken to Shang Tsung. Yeah. Like, things like that. Like, it's cool.
It's not just that, even. That's not where that specific reference stops. Even just prior to that in the tea house where Liu Kang is dressed up in that jacket.
Yeah.
With the hood, and he looks like Raiden, you know? Like,
like a simple beggar, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, just all those callbacks we're mentioning, you know, Liu Kang, the Raiden movie, some quotes as well. What do you see in him? He is a champion, though he does not know it yet. Raiden asking Liu Kang, and that's exactly what Liu Kang asked Raiden in
Mortal Kombat 9. Yeah,
yeah.
I love it. I loved those kind of callbacks. And, you know, if it is them playing with those member berries of mine, that's fine, because they were fun. It was a cool way to do it. So,
yes, I mean, we had Deadly Alliance callbacks with Quan Chi and Shang Tsung literally working together and without apparently even trying to betray each other for the first time ever.
Yeah.
I mean,
a little out
spoilers,
of character.
Everybody, okay? This is spoiler talk now. out of character? Possibly, but bear in mind, they are entirely new characters. Like, just quickly touching on it, Quan Chi, for example, had a completely different origin. We literally see him get his extremely white skin, you know, because his soul is almost sort of sucked out. But the fact that Shang Tsung betrayed Shang Tsung, that is as Shang Tsung as it gets, you know?
Yeah, Shang Tsung betraying Shang Tsung too. It's old Shang Tsung betraying new Shang Tsung. And as you said, this is a new timeline. So kind of anything goes with these characters. So it's not out of character for these brand new reinvented characters to have their own characteristics.
Exactly. It's really cool. I think that the Deadly Alliance, the Deception, just the fact that they used Damashi. And I called it, I mean, I thought it was going to be Onaga, personally. I remember, but I did call it was Damashi. Nice one, Dominic. You definitely got one over on me. I mean, the Armageddon callback as well. Even the post-credit scene with Titan Havoc. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to say Dominic. I'm sure Ed as well and everybody involved with this story, but I'm going to go specifically with Dominic right now. Dominic is listening. Dominic, I've said this in the lead up to Mortal Kombat 1. I believe that now we're going to see Dominic's writing in a way where he really proves the haters wrong. And I believe he did exactly that. I mean, I'm so, you, even the fourth snake liked the story. That says it all. Mm-hmm. And he hates most stories of the games he plays. And for me, the story was great. I think, yes, there were things that could have been done better. Certain characters were underused, of course. I'm very happy to see Serena return. But for one line, she could have spoken a bit more, you know. I mean, she could have been playable character, full stop. But I appreciate that she was even in there. I appreciate the references to the 3D era. I appreciate all the other references, nostalgia and such. I appreciate the character dialogues. I appreciate the tower endings becoming canonized in some way. That is a genius way of writing the tower endings. We've always seen tower endings as a way where it's like, oh, this could be canon or this one could be canon. No, yeah. They use that to tell us more of the story. What's coming possibly in the expansion or if there is one or in the next game. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's definitely a different take on it because, you know, with Mortal Kombat X, for example, the tower endings, they had ways of sprinkling in truths, or even Mortal Kombat 2 and 3. You know, you got to learn a little bit more about your characters, see what could possibly happen to them, and kind of get an idea of where their story is going to take them, even if they don't follow that particular arc. But here, every story ending is canonical now. It is part of where these character stories are going to lead. So it's definitely a new take on the tower endings, and it's interesting to see how they're doing it.
Yeah, that was really cool to see, like, oh, these tower endings can actually be canon. And yeah. I think Dominic has taken it in such a way where it's like, yeah, and I'm going to use it to tell you guys more of the story that I know you love and that you want to hear. And I really do appreciate that, especially Ashura's ending. Serena. but it does set up a lot of things. I don't want to go too far into this because, as we mentioned, we're going to be doing an entire story thing, but just certain characters being mentioned in towers and in endings. I'm happy with the story. I am very excited to see where it goes. We can always see more, obviously, with expansions and such, but as of where it is right now, I think we're both on the same page. They did a good job, apart from the ending, maybe.
Yeah, and that's, you know, kind of something to touch on is that there's a couple parts where the story drags a little bit, and then there's the ending where it felt like there's almost three different endings, and then it just kind of kept getting pushed on to another chapter, pushed on. So I wasn't a fan of everything, and then, you know, it's always hard to see characters that you grow up with getting such massive retcons.
Yes.
But, you know, I can put that aside to enjoy the story, and overall it was an interesting way to take it. The way that the climax is kind of peaked and then it didn't, I don't know, it felt like
go anywhere.
Yeah, that part of the endings, I, you know, it, and we'll talk about that a lot more during our story discussions, but yeah. That was my only big negative. I was really enjoying a lot of the story and a lot of what was happening up until a certain point, and then I started, you know,
the Titan section pretty much. I think it was, yeah. I think we both had the same moment. It's actually funny enough where Damashi was revealed to be Shang Tsung. Following that, it felt like it sort of went downhill in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. It was basically right after that was revealed, it was like we got a different story all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And it basically felt like there's three different stories within this one storyline.
It also made you care less about the characters too in the timeline because suddenly the Titan characters were more important.
Yes. Oh, like the Liu Kang Katana scene where they get reunited. I was like, yes.
That's
yes.
Great. Yeah. Yeah.
And then, like, I don't care about the other katana. Yeah. And so, yeah, exactly. It made you feel less about these characters that you were starting to get invested in the story. And all of a sudden you're not anymore because you got your old cast back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like we said, we're sort of on the same page. There were obviously negatives throughout, but I think generally as a whole, we liked the story up until really towards the end where it sort of fell apart a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that expansions or the next game sort of fix that, but I really do hope it's expansions with the whole Titan Havoc thing.
I haven't finished all of the tower endings, so and you know, it's obvious that is such a big tie-in into the story itself. And considering our discussion from when you first finished story mode to now that you've played all the tower endings, I think you've even eased up on the negativity of the story mode. So I think that kind of adds a lot to what you're experiencing with this Mortal Kombat 1 story.
Yeah, I think you're right. Although I will say that I still believe that the chapter system is more of a negative and it's holding back the story because certain characters didn't get chapters. I think Kitana, Smoke, who else didn't get? Garrus didn't even have a fight, you know, let alone a chapter.
And it's not that they have to.
I wish Garrus didn't return, you know, and that's just like, okay, he didn't even have a chapter or a fight in it.
Yeah, but it's not that they have to have a chapter, though. It's just that you're basically waiting to get to the next part of the story. You're waiting to get to the next fight at a certain point.
It also lowers the threat level of the apparent threat, you know, like I know I'm going to win. So, for example, I'm playing Raiden and they're choosing who's going to be the protector or the champion of Earthrealm. And I'm Raiden. I know I'm going to win, you know.
Well, I died once as Scorpion during the tester mite where he gets his face shoved into the pot. And I was like,
oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, like, I'm Scorpion, I'm manipulating fire, but all of a sudden I can't stand the heat here. And
hey, that's lava. That's different.
Okay. Anyways.
Also, apparently there were some cool little tidbits where when you did die, the game like made a little story for you or something about what happened after you died. That's actually cool. Pretty smart. I need to see them all. It sounds like humble brag, but I'm sorry, it was on Medium. Like, the story was easy. I didn't die once.
Well,
so I didn't get to see any of those.
With Test Your Might too, you know, it's fun to lose those because you get to see like Nightwolf shoot his arrows at you, or you know.
Oh, Invasion's mode is a different ballpark. I have lost a million Test Your Mights. Just ending off the story section, even with the sort of characterization that we mentioned, it is very cool to see certain characters being reworked in a way, but also hard to grasp the fact that they have changed. And I mean, certain characters I feel actually suffered as a result of this. For example, I think Havoc going from chaos personified to an anarchist was a cool allusion to, you know, the real world in terms of politics and such, but I actually prefer old school Havoc more. Onaga seems to be more of a dragon, similar in vein to Orin and Karo, rather than the Onaga that we know and love. It seems there's no Taven and Dagon, you know, like there's certain changes to the story which have me wondering where things are going to go. But Ermac was a very good decision to bring Jared into the fold, finally. I think that was great.
Oh, yeah. And that kind of goes back to that fan service. You know, it's one of those things that fans have wanted for a long time. I mean, that Jared was even on our roster, that our dream roster that we put together on our Soul Stream. And it would be Jared taking over Ermac. So it's cool to see that sort of stuff come to light and finally get to experience it. But then again, at the same time, it's not our Ermac and it's not our Jared. And so it kind of loses a bit of weight to it by the time we get there.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that, the roster thing, because I did want to actually end on the roster itself, because the roster, in my opinion, is a very integral part of the story itself and the characterization.
And the roster is amazing on this game.
Yeah.
I mean, for everything I don't like about the game, this roster is perfect. I have no complaints about it. No, almost, yeah, because you're not getting
Serena.
You've got everybody you want. Oh, you don't have Serena on the main roster.
I don't have Serena on the main roster. Genuinely, if Serena made it in, this is my. I mean, it's already technically my perfect roster in a way.
Yeah,
but I like Serena would make this. If it's a 9.5 out of 10, Serena would make it a 12 out of 10.
The thing is, the cameo mechanic of this game allows for so many things to get added to it in a way that I'm okay with it. You know, I'm okay that I don't get to play as Goro in this game. Not that I
really care to
play about Goro, but I'm okay with it, especially because I get to cameo Goro or Shujinko. Shujinko is it. I love him. I've wanted him so bad. You know, I wanted Soul Stealer Shujinko from the Mortal Kombat X endings. The fact that I get to cameo as him, I'm happy. Like, I am going through invasion mode with him as my cameo the entire time just because it's fun. And, like, I'm not disappointed that he's not on the main roster because I get him in one way or another. Yeah,
fair enough. I see it in a way where it's like, okay, well, we could have dropped certain characters and brought in others. Like, the fact that, for example, Tremor and Chameleon are not on the playable roster mm-hmm. but on the cameo. And then, for example, General Shao is on the roster, or Garrus is on the roster. Like, to me, that's where it sort of drags down a bit. And I know that's subjective. I 100% know that's subjective.
But right, yeah.
Regardless, moving on from this, the roster itself is the best roster since Deception, in my opinion. Yeah, and I'm agree. Skipping over 9 and Armageddon on purpose, because those were technically compilation rosters. This is such a good roster. This alone will keep me playing Mortal Kombat 1 for a very long time.
I like this roster better than 9 and Armageddon. Armageddon was so much recycling of movesets and stuff. And then 9, you know, it had your core members and plus they sprinkled in a few more. But this is just so out there and bringing in such uniqueness that I loved it. It's been great. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on, you know, things like the seasonal store?
The unlock system? I mean, I suppose that ties into the customization as a whole, really. I really feel like the customization in this game, and this seems to be a sentiment echoed by the entire community right now, the customization is very, very bad. Sorry, but it is.
Mostly palette swaps so far. And
yeah, it is.
A couple tattoo skins.
It's funny like you say that, but Reptile's primary skin with the tattoos is arguably one of the best designs in the game, and then his alternate is... What the hell am I looking at? I'm sorry, whoever designed that, but I'm speaking the truth. Like, I'm not a fan.
The design choices are different on this game too.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of it don't fit the aesthetic that's there. You know, it's a very much a Asian aesthetic. You know, and we're getting almost superhero costumes.
In a way, yeah.
Yeah,
and I think that the fact that the unlock system right now is as it is kind of a negative as well, because these skins seem to be drip-fed content. I mean, why are they being drip-fed if they're in the game already? That's not cool, especially if you're charging real money for them. And that is my, other than Combat League, my biggest criticism of the game right now. And it's the unlock system.
And you know, kind of with everything else in this game, I feel like this is something that can be fixed up, especially because we're starting to see some new skins like Mortal Kombat Deception, Scorpion just got introduced, and things like that.
Deadly Alliance.
Oh, sorry. Deadly Alliance Scorpion. Yeah. And things like that. That's badass. That's awesome. I love it. Like, you know, some people haven't liked some of the choices with it, like the fact that you can't put a mask on them and stuff like that. But I'm okay with walking around with a firehead scorpion all the time.
It's not even, it's a firehead. It's not a fire skull. You know, like, I'm sorry, yeah. But why is it being sold with a gear piece for a mask if you can't use it? That's another thing. It. Why do we not get to preview the skin or the gear piece before you buy it?
Yeah. But my point is that this is one of those things that can be tweaked out, and if they keep working with it, I think this could be a really cool system introducing stuff like that.
The problem is the actual unlock system itself. One of the arguments that I've seen people saying for the one gear piece per character system is that in MK11 you had pieces of gear where it's like you can barely see them. Somebody made a joke, I think it was Under the Mayo, previous Realmcast guest, who said, "I don't care if I can't get a nipple ring for Reiko or something." And I love that. It's hilarious. But he has a point. The problem is that point cannot be used to justify the decision for this game. Why? Because certain characters' gear pieces are literally that small. Garrus has that little piece in the center of his chest again. You don't see that when you're playing. Rain staff, fine, fair enough. But I believe the old characters should have some form of head or face piece, like especially the ninjas with their masks. Yeah. I should be able to change Rain's mask. I should be able to change Kitana's mask. I should be able to change Milena's mask. Instead, you can change, as we said, Garrus's core. You can change, for example, Nitara's wings are a very good decision to be able to change them. Yeah. Ashra's Chris, great idea. I would like to see us being able to change her hat, you know. But then other characters, it's like, well, this is kind of pointless. Even in my opinion, I know that a lot of people are, so this is where I kind of stand in the minority here, but Reiko's gear system, for him having the option of changing his head, his helm, I'm sorry, but I associate Reiko with his eye makeup, the Brotherhood of Shadow.
Yeah.
So when you cover that,
it's head, weird that he has helmets to me.
Yeah, it is. And it's also weird because he has Shao Kahn helmets. Now, I know it's a callback to MK4's ending, but that shouldn't be the entire point of an entire gear system for him, for the character. Yeah. In my opinion, and this is sadly one of my negative points, I feel like Reiko was unfinished. I think that he was supposed to have a spear or even a dagger as part of his gameplay. They are literally, or at least the spear is literally part of his fatal blow and his one of his fatalities. He stands there in the character select screen holding a spear. I would have much preferred, firstly, using Reiko with a spear. I remember I mentioned to you when we saw the launch trailer, oh, I'm going to main him. He's using a spear. He's not using a spear. And that actively puts me off the character, sadly. You know? I don't know. I feel like they just decided to give him some red energy on his attacks and throw in some grapples and call it a day. Yeah. I genuinely do feel like Reiko is missing something, which is a shame. And that's where I think it's good to move into the unlock system, because now you're unlocking pieces of gear for characters and you don't care about some of them. Do you know what I mean? Like, you personally, you said that you don't care about any gear, any customization really.
No, if I get a cool one, then I'll throw it on there. Oh, yeah. Which also, player two can't have any skins. Like, that is very annoying.
That's a problem that has moved from MK11 until now.
Yeah. Like, I got people come over and they're like, oh, this is cool. I want to play as that guy. And they're like, where is he? He's not on there. And I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry. That's my character with a skin. And you don't get to use those at all.
It's very silly. And that is a problem that has been complained about since MK11. I'm a bit annoyed that that's not been fixed. So let's talk just quickly. We've got Shrine, we've got Invasion, we've got Mastery, we've got Combat League, and we've got the store, right? Now, the Shrine itself has its problem in the sense that it's extremely limited. People exhausted it within the first few days. There is not much in that Shrine, and yet there's a lot more gear in the game, which if you go into tournament mode, players are reporting that you will see pieces of gear that they have not unlocked yet, and they have all the masteries and such already. So that means it's in the game, it's just not available yet. It's very, very slow when you spend on anything. And I actually do believe it's missing some gear. If you do remember before the release of the game, Ed Boon said that the unlock system was not going to be a crypt, it was going to be something else. And he was obviously talking Invasion mode. But the Shrine is obviously another method of getting it, as is Mastery. Mastery was a great concept. But holy hell, the XP gain is slow, and that's including the Invasion's exploit. What do you think? Or have you not bothered mastering any characters?
You know, I haven't bothered mastering any characters. I don't care about that at all.
But they do have brutalities.
Oh, see, that's cool. But here's how I play. I go and I play a little bit. You know, if a friend comes over, I'll play with them. If I get some coins, I'll toss them into the Shrine and, you know, I'll get an art piece. I'm like, okay, I'm never going to look at that. Every once in a while, I'll get a skin or I'll unlock that's a brutality so or fatality. And I'm like,
the art pieces.
Oh, I mean, no offense. I do look at those. I do go in and I check them out because it's cool to see behind the scenes. Like, there's some really cool stuff of seeing the full stage that you're fighting and stuff like that and the design work for it. But, you know, it's, you know, I put it away until, you know, I'm kind of like, okay, I'm going to go through and look at the stuff. It's not like, oh, look what I just unlocked. This was the design concept for Rain's Kermit the Frog staff. I can't wait to go and see it. Like, it's, no, I'm just like, okay, whatever.
I think I've said those exact words. I'm joking. No, okay, but, I get you.
Yeah, but if I get a cool skin or a cool fatality, brutality, I go over and I make some changes and then I'll just keep playing it. I'm not grinding. I don't want to grind. I just want to play. There's a difference, you know?
And I'll address this section very quickly. You've got the playable characters with 35 levels, and that includes gear pieces, palettes for skins, and gear, which is also unlockable via other means, whether it be the Shrine or Invasions mode or something. So it's pretty much just a palette variation. And then the final rewards, all being silver and gold or gold and silver skins, which I think, as cool as some of them look, is a bit lazy because I feel like they should have at least had the primary color of the characters themselves. So Rain, for example, should have been purple with the gold and the silver accents. Smoke should have been silver with gold and, well, I guess silver accents,
cool.
Or gray and gold. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that'd been
things
really
like
cool.
That. Scorpion makes sense with the gold, less with the silver. Sub-Zero makes very little sense with the gold, a little bit with the silver. Things like that. Reptile, there's no green on his outfit. Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love the mastery system. I think it's a genius way of doing it. You unlock things as you play. It's really cool. But the XP gain is very slow. The cameos themselves are even worse because they only have one skin with various palette unlocks. Extremely slow XP gain to make up for the lack of levels in comparison to playable characters. As we said, 15 levels. They have only two brutalities. And for certain reward levels, I think it was two of them, you get quick fatality tokens, which is a slap in the face.
I hate those because I always, you know, I'll try to end off with a combo string if I can get one going, and I'll accidentally use my R2 button or whatever, and I key off one of my quick fatalities. I'm like, okay, well, that was wasted.
Exactly. And it's just, yeah. it's I don't know. I'm sorry, but as a reward system, a quick fatality token and selling them for 300 dragon crystals? No.
I don't mind getting them as rewards, but I hate
how not in the mastery them. System. Give them
yeah,
for other
yeah,
things.
I see what you mean. Yeah.
It, like, I'm playing Serena, and I already, I'm just making do with her as a cameo. And then instead of getting something actually cool for her, whether it be a palette, an entirely new skin, possibly gear pieces for cameos, combat card icons, things like that. Nope, you get quick fatality tokens. I mm-hmm. don't give a damn about those. You know? It's a shame. And that's the part that it kind of feels a bit lazy. Speaking of other unlock systems, invasions mode don't tell you what you're going to be unlocking in the towers and fights. You just have to go into it blind.
Yeah.
There are no unlocks, as we mentioned already, in the Towers Hub, apart from the Seasonal Tower. And then you've got Combat League, as we've mentioned already, you know, with the skins and the gear system that you unlock there. Hopefully Warrior Shrine does fix that. But sadly, the most negative aspect of the unlock system, and I think you will agree with me on this, is the store itself. The premium store, as they're calling it.
You mean the fact that you have to buy stuff?
Yeah, with real money. Although it's a bit unfair because we did mention that the seasonal store is there and it is very cool. You have a pretty cool array of skins to unlock and gear pieces, except they're all within the seasonal theme, which sadly this time looks like McDonald's themes. But yes, the premium store itself is real money converted into dragon crystals. What are your thoughts on this?
You know, I don't hate that that's there for the people who want to purchase something. You know, I had some dragon crystals lying around and I was like, okay, well, you know, I want to buy this thing. It was more disappointing though when I bought it with dragon crystals and then I found out that I could get it through playing the game. And I was like, oh, well, that's great. I just wasted my dragon crystals. Which mm-hmm. dragon crystals, you know, most of the times if you're going to get those, you're going to pay money for it. I don't know. I don't hate the fact that you can purchase through the game if you want. Like, if you want a cool skin, go out and buy it if you want to. Or, like I would rather do, like, I don't even want to pay for PlayStation Plus to play against Yanni. I would rather just play the game and unlock it and be like, okay,
yes.
cool. And but have a way that I know that I'm unlocking it. Like, that's what was so special about the Crypt back in the day is you used to be able to go and be like, okay, I really want this. This is in crypt number B9. And you go over to B9 and you're like, it's mine. I have it.
That was the best.
It was such a great feeling. And that feeling is gone.
It really so, is.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that people are fine with the store and I understand the concept of the store, but I don't think it really has its place in a 70 to potentially 110, potentially more dollar game. Now, if the Dragon Crystals were given out via gameplay, as they did in MK11 with Time Crystals through Combat League and such, fine. I understand that. Maybe they will still add that, but it still doesn't make my next point fine, and that's the actual cost. Have you seen the cost of the gear pieces and the skin bundles and such?
Yeah, I think the minimum one is like a $5 Dragon Crystal bundle that you get like a scorpion skin with it. At the time that I was looking at it, I think
that's a one-time purchase. And that is firstly a palette swap scorpion. Now, yes, 500 dragon crystals is even without that one-time bundle is $499, $5. Mm-hmm. You've got 1,250 dragon crystals for $10, $9.99. And then you've got 5.9K dragon crystals for $39.99. Now, firstly, how much did you buy the game for?
So I bought the collector's edition. I don't remember. It was a lot of money.
But the point here is that one gear piece in the premium store right now is 300 dragon crystals. If 500 dragon crystals is $5, around $5. Mm-hmm. So over $2.5. Okay. That's one gear piece for $2.5. Let's just say roundabout. Then you've got skin bundles being between 600 and 1,000. And a 1,250 bundle of dragon crystals is $10. So for one skin, you are spending potentially 10% of what you spent on the game itself as a whole.
For one skin.
For one skin.
Right.
That's my problem here. the pricing.
You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, that's their prerogative if they want to make extra money off the game and stuff like that. I disagree with that stance because this is a very predatory way to make your money. It is basically, I mean, you're not showing the monetary value of what your skins are costing. You are having them buy, you know, Dave and Buster bucks or whatever so that they can go through and get their thing based off of a currency that you don't know what it is. It's kind of like how Disneyland used to do Disney dollars back in the 80s. Like, you would go and pay a bunch of money for all these Disney dollars and you could buy stuff at the store. You don't know, you're not making that conversion out in your head. Like, it's like traveling overseas and getting swindled at a swap market because you don't know what the price is on something in the local currency and they're charging you $100 in your currency because you don't know what that conversion rate is. That's what's happening here. And yeah, I do disagree with that. Sure, it's their prerogative if they want to make money, but that is a sleazy way to do it.
Yeah, and it's this very slippery slope. It started all the way from horse armor, you know, back in the old days. It just for, oh, it just costs this much. You don't have to buy it if you don't want it. It's only cosmetics. This is that. Look where we've gotten to now, you know.
Yeah, all of our horses have to have armor.
Yeah.
I've never heard that analogy in my life.
Have you never heard the horse armor?
No, I have not. This is all new to me.
World of Warcraft? Let me check.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about...
No, it was Bethesda. It was Bethesda. Oh,
I thought you were talking about real life, Yanni.
No, no. I said games.
Okay, sorry. I was like, what kind of medieval discussion are we having right now? The blacksmiths were ripping people off with loot boxes back in the...
Here, you buy this, you don't know what's in it.
Anyway,
so it all started from the whole Bethesda horse armor. Oh, you can spend this much and you'll get this content for your horse, and it's just an armor. And people were at the time saying this is a very dangerous thing, and people were like, just brushing it off. Oh, who cares? Let people spend on it who want to. And yes, fair enough, let people spend on it what they want to. But at the same time, it is very predatory. Especially for certain types of people, and especially with certain tactics which can be employed. I'm not saying those are being employed here, although it is very difficult to argue against the variation of the currencies, especially when this game is quite mobile currency heavy, in the sense that there are at least three different currencies. We've got normal coins, the gold coins, we've got seasonal coins, we've got dragon crystals, for example. And then you've even got, what do you call them? Crowns, I think, or something in the invasions mode, which you use to upgrade your talisman, I think. But yeah, there's a lot of currencies in the game. And like I said, I love the game. I love the roster. I love the story. I love the characters and how they've been portrayed, at least to majority-wise. I love the gameplay, despite the unbalance. But this part of the game, the store, is not okay. Mm-hmm. It is not okay. It needs to be adjusted. I got the collector's edition as well. And I had Dragon Crystals, as you said, laying around. So I thought, okay, I really like the 3D era. I'm going to grab the Deadly Alliance Scorpion. And Shang Tsung's voice acting was one of my favorites in the game. I grabbed that voice pack. Both of them were 1,000 Dragon Crystals each. That is, what was it again? Just under $10, pretty much. Firstly, they are now immediately back in rotation 1 week later. Fair enough. They are going with the sort of FOMO thing. But at the same time, fair play to them for putting it back in the rotation. But that is very expensive. I'm sorry. It is very expensive. I have now spent... technically an extra $20 on top, even though it was already money in the game that I already had. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, so yeah, I get it.
That's my biggest negative.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess in sort of summary of all the negatives we have of the game before we move into the positives, really, the game does feel a bit unfinished or rushed at times. Like, there are bugs as well, brutalities. Some heads are just floating there sometimes. The game is extremely unbalanced.
You know, but also with some of the stuff that we discussed leading up to the game, especially in our soul streams, this is one of those games that might forever be broken in a way, because there's so many variations with this cameo dynamic that fleshing them all out and making it, like, unbreaking it, it could take a lot more work than... I think was anticipated when they first started going down this route.
I believe it's not that difficult with regards to just at least toning down damage numbers and possibly even gravity scaling with certain moves.
So yeah, certain moves. But I think overall there's always going to be something that is broken somewhere.
For sure, for sure. Yeah. I think that we do need to see how the game evolves before we say, scream, nerf for everything, but there are certain obvious things which need to be tuned.
Well, I think Mortal Kombat fans too hyper focus on, you know, one particular thing for that month. And last month it was Serena. This month it has been Cyrax, I think. And who knows what next month's going to be. Oh, Shujinko has started showing up as, you know, the big
I've been using him.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. He's got a major exploit right now. He can basically make it so Shao Kahn can't do any special moves if you're fighting against him.
I've not actually come up against a Shao Kahn with Shao.
Same. So I don't know how useful that is, but you know, for those who are fighting Shao Kahns all the time, you know, there's a really good exploit still out there for you. but as we've said before too, all this stuff, this is early on and all this stuff is getting adjusted.
Skin system, the mastery reward system, invasions mode itself, these things can all be fixed. They can. The shrine can be fixed. The warrior shrine could fix my issues with Combat League. King of the Hill is going to be fixed, I'm sure. Online practice mode is still missing. That can be added too. The Titan Battles trophy is not possible to attain. I'm sorry, but how do you release a game where one of the actual trophies is not earnable? That's a bit weird to me. I don't know if that should be allowed. I'm very happy the game came out when it did. Don't get me wrong. I know it's a double-edged sword. If we waited longer, I would have been saying, oh, I want the game. But I'm always all for, you know, the studios having more time. But I also believe that if you are going to put out a game and there are certain things which aren't ready, address them. And for example, let's just say with the characters, put them in for free later.
Well, yeah, there's plenty of other fighting games that do that same technique. You know, they're going to release
Street Fighter did that with the last game.
I'm pretty sure they did with, you know, they released this main character like, hey, guess what? Next month, you're getting this character too. Fans would love that. It would keep the hype going for Mortal Kombat 1, I think.
Yeah. And it shows goodwill with the fans too. It really does. And I think that that is something that's a bit missing. The moment MK1 released, the communication has definitely dropped.
Oh, you know?
You've got, as we said, the brutalities glitches. You've got move list inputs being entirely missing or frame data being wrong. Like everything is one frame. That doesn't make sense. Like, Reptile's fatalities have the wrong distances in them. Rain has entire strings missing from his moveset. Kenshi has an entire string missing from his moveset. These are just characters that I've been playing that I have looked at these things with. There are just certain things that don't feel like they've been properly tested or fleshed out. Brutalities sometimes don't even work full stop until the character is at a certain mastery level. Mm-hmm. The game just has certain things which need to be fixed. And I say this, again, knowing that, you know, like, it can be fixed. These are just negatives because I want the game to be better. And I believe that these are very good starting points. And I'm sure we've missed others that other people have. Bear in mind, these are all things that we just want to see fixed for the game to be better, the best game that it can be.
Yeah, but I think that's a great point too, is that any kind of negativity that we have towards this game is just because we want to see this game better. Because there's so much to like about this game. Like you mentioned the roster and things like that. The story mode. That this game could be really amazing with a few changes.
Yeah, it really could be. So why don't we just run through the positives? Because there are some positives I really do want to address. Okay. So positives, the gameplay itself. We've mentioned it's unbalanced. Yes, that is a negative. But the gameplay itself as well is, in my opinion, the best gameplay we've had since at least MKX. And then even more so MK9. It is a lot of fun. I literally like could be just sitting there thinking, like, if I'm not on the PlayStation, I should be thinking, oh, you know, I could try this. It's just so much fun. I'm so ready to pick up the game and play. You know, it is a lot of fun. And one huge aspect of that, I believe that you 100% have the same feeling as me, is the roster.
Yeah,
every character feels important to some extent, bar a couple in the story, of course. But this is the most diverse roster since the 3D era, and it is the return of the 3D era. It's so good to see the roster with Ashura there, with Serena even as a cameo, with Li Mei there, with Havoc finally returning.
With cool 3D characters and kind of accentuating 3D characters that, you know, might not have been as cool previously. Like having Darius come out and do his ballerina swing and stuff like that. It's fun. Like, it's cool.
Who doesn't want to swing around Darius, you know? You've got Reiko, you've got Nitara, you've got, like, I mean, even just the combat pack on the way with even just the cameos themselves, Chameleon, even in the story, Tremor coming, Mavado.
Takeda's going to be there. Like, the
Takeda,
combat kid that everybody loves is showing up, so.
The one that should have been in MK11 instead of Jackie White. You've got the story as well. The story, in my opinion, is arguably the best NRS era story so far, or at least it's on par with MK9. MK9, I feel, is a bit unfair to compare to because it was sort of a rehashing of the previous story itself. I really do like MK1's story. I think Dominic has given us something really, really fun here. I say Dominic, him and everybody else involved in the story itself. Thank you. Like, this is a story, in my opinion, to be proud of for the MK community. It is a lot of fun. I very much enjoy it. And really, the only negatives, as I said, came up towards the end because it felt a little bit rushed and fan servicey, which also is a positive because Armageddon was a very, very cool way of ending it. It just needed a bit more setup. You know?
I feel like Mortal Kombat 1's story is kind of what Mortal Kombat 11 should have done.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen Mortal Kombat 11 have been more of a combination between the two stories that we got here. I like the idea of taking a new direction. And, you know, for all of my love of the original timeline, it's fun to see kind of where this was leading and kind of see where we were going to go with it. It hasn't been my favorite NRS era storyline, but I did enjoy it. So
yeah, fair enough. I mean, just the game as a whole, really. I know you've had some fun with it. I know you don't play it as often as I do, but you don't care, for example, about the mastery system, which is a positive for me. I like the idea of the concept. I think it has a bit bad execution, but that can be adjusted. The seasonal store is great for people who were complaining that they don't want to play single player content. I'm complaining about the Combat League content. Hopefully the Warrior Shrine fixes that too. I believe that this can be counted as a positive if it ends up in the right way. I mean, the character dialogues are a huge positive too in the tower endings. Like I said, for me, there's a lot of positives. There are obviously a lot of negatives too, but in my opinion, the game itself as a whole, overall sort of opinion really is, it's a great game. 10 out of 10 roster, pretty much. Awesome story. Gameplay is amazing. But the lack of balance, polish, possibly completion, as well as the microtransactions, or as I would really call them in this game, macrotransactions, as they should be considering the prices, they sadly drag down the game heavily. But the game has all the opportunities in the world to fix this issue. What do you think?
My overall opinion, you know, it's enjoyable, and it's something that I think, as it progresses, as it gets more fleshed out, is going to be much better than it is right now. I haven't been picking up the older Mortal Kombat. I have been staying focused on this one. So that says a lot to me. You know, as we've talked about with previous games, I usually would go back and play the older ones. Like, I'd go back and, you know, play Mortal Kombat X instead of 11. I'd go back and play Mortal Kombat 9, like, more than anything else. But I have been pretty consistently playing this game, it just because it is fun to explore these different movesets, fun to explore these different combinations, and the story was fun to play through. I enjoyed it. So yeah, overall I'm enjoying it, and I am excited to see how it gets further developed. Yes. as more patches are coming out with it. But you know, I'm curious more about what your audience thinks. Do you agree with me that this is a great game, or do you agree with Yanni that, you know, this game is not very good?
Hey, that is not what I said. Do not put words in my mouth.
No, but really though, are you enjoying the game? Is there anything you'd like to see improved? Or is there anything that you would like to see that be completely different than what it is? Like, leave us a comment below and let us know what you think. Yanni, where can people find us?
Well, let us know in the comments, as we said, of this video itself. You can connect with us on social media as well as, you know, YouTube itself via @Realmcast, or you can interact with us on the Mortal Kombat Online official Discord channel, which we will leave a link to in the description of this video too. Your engagement, passion, diverse viewpoints really invigorate the community. And as Phantom said, let us know. I actually do want to hear what everybody thought of the game. I really think that there are certain things that are polarizing in terms of opinions for the community. So let us know. It'd be really cool to hear your thoughts on the game.
Yeah. Do you think we've been too harsh, or do you think we have not been harsh enough and been too lax on it? Please leave us a comment, because I'm super curious to see, you know, and let us know if there's stuff that we missed too that you think should have been included in this review of Mortal Kombat 1.
I'm sure we missed something.
Oh, I'm sure we missed a lot of things. You know, like there's so many diverse viewpoints from the fandom that, you know, I think there's things that people really like about this game that we haven't mentioned. There's things that people are is driving people crazy about this game that we haven't mentioned, and that's what I would like to see in the comments. So let us know. You know, it might be worth us talking about a little bit more in detail later on the Roamcast. So lastly, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the Roamcast. Your support is what propels us and our exploration into the fascinating world of Mortal Kombat. So until our next journey into the realms, remember, every warrior has a story and every saga a lesson.